Golf Today.
Golf Today roundtable. Rex Hoggart, Ryan Lavner joining us. Rex, I want to start with you. What do you make of this Tom Kim incident? It sounds like Thomas the Tank Engine has a little bit of trouble letting his steam off.
Oh, I was praying you were going to start with me on this one, Eamon, because my take on this is intent. That word intent is lifting a lot in that statement. When you talk about intent, this sounds like a conversation I have with my kids all the time, and they're right around Tom Kim's age. So I can certainly understand where he's coming from. And having played a lot of bad golf with Ryan Lavner on the other side of that screen, I think both of us will admit that we've had our moments on the golf course and then even off the golf course where anger has come into this. I'm kind of with you. This is a whole lot of nothing. However, I will say this. How you handle it does speak a little bit here. And I will go back to, you guys were just telling stories back in the old days. I'll just go back to 2013. Henrik Stenson, if you remember back at the BMW Championship, broke not only a locker in the locker room, but he also broke his driver in the process. And this was a masterclass when he was asked about it afterwards. His take was, I needed a driver with less spin. That's the way you handle that.
Rex, I think it's only interesting in the sense that if you're keeping score at home, this is the third apology that Tom Kim has had to issue in the last 3 months. You referenced the damage in the green during the FedEx Cup playoffs. He had to apologize to U.S. captain Jim Furyk and some of the American players after suggesting that they were showing poor sportsmanship during the President's Cup. And now he's apologizing after damaging his locker. I think Tom Kim is certainly showing his age of 22. He, you know, essentially would have just wrapped up his senior year of college had he gone to school in the States. He's not the first player who has struggled with this sort of thing. I mean, Scottie Scheffler, Brooks Koepka were hotheads in college. John Rahm, you know, famously had some temper tantrums earlier in his pro career. You know, it's not up to Scottie or Jordan Spieth in Dallas to sort of take Tom Kim under their wings and change him. It's up to Tom Kim to sort of take personal accountability for himself and his career.
Yeah, you got to hope, too, that the cancer culture isn't too much on Tom Kim, that it dilutes that passion that he clearly has. FedEx Cup fall. Is it working, or is there anything, something that should change?
Oh, I don't think it's working, in my opinion. And I think the easiest thing that the PGA Tour could and should do is to trim the fall slate. Because one thing the PGA Tour does not do well is scarcity. And so you can't have a fall schedule of quote-unquote meaning and consequence when you have eight golf tournaments in which to secure your playing privileges for 2025. You just had a regular season that was truncated on the PGA Tour going from January to August now and really condensing the season. Now all of a sudden you're throwing another quarter on top of that and saying that this is really important too. I think it goes to the crux of the issue that there's just too many handouts for too many players on the PGA Tour, whether it's sponsor invitations or the two-year exemption for winning, past champion status, even those who are missing the top 125 cutoff for the FedEx Cup are still roughly going to get in 12 to 15 events on the PGA Tour next year. If you want real consequence on the PGA Tour, that's essentially the second stage of Q School, where you're going to be left into no man's land. Right now, you do not have real consequence, real relegation on the PGA Tour. The closer the PGA Tour can get to that sort of ideal and model, the better product it's going to be.
Rex, Ryan just brought up one of my favorite topics when it comes to this time of the year and changes necessary in the PGA Tour, the idea of the sponsor exemptions. The tour tells us at this time of the year how guys are playing for their living. They're trying to improve their positioning. Those who have already secured their card for next year, others are still trying to secure their card. Joel Damon got a sponsor exemption to fly to Japan, finished in the middle of a field, 77-man field. He finished lower than 40th in the results. But that was enough to move him inside the top 125 on the list, to, FedEx Cup point list, to keep his card for next year, or at least give himself a better shot at doing so. I know there's a vote coming on reducing sponsor exemptions from 4 to 2. Are they justifiable or sustainable at all, given the scarcity that we're about to see with tour cards going forward?
I think they're not going anywhere. And the reason behind that is you have a mindset among sponsors that they're paying a lot of money. They're essentially paying the bills. So yes, they want sponsor exemptions. I think it's probably moving in the right direction when you start talking about narrowing that list to 2, maybe even fewer for certain events. I would love if Joe Highsmith was sitting right here right now, because he was 125th on the points list last week and got bumped out because he did not get a sponsor exemption into the Zozo Championship. And this is nothing personal when it comes to Joel Damon. To your point, I think either you start cutting the number of sponsor exemptions that sponsors have per tournament, or you start limiting them per person, per member. You already do it for non-members. You're only allowed X number of sponsor exemptions if you're not a member of the PGA Tour. It just makes sense. As the PGA Tour goes to fewer spots and signature events, goes to fewer spots and full field events, goes to fewer fully exempt spots on the PGA Tour as a whole, it's perfectly reasonable to limit them to 2, 3, 4 tops, because you end up with a scenario where the select few ended up getting into these events, like last week with Joe, where there was no cut guaranteed points, and then those like Joe Highsmith sit at home and get bounced outside the top 125.
Yeah, Rex, I think when you talk about sponsors exemptions, rather than for me having a problem with someone like Joel Damon getting in there, it's more of a problem where a celebrity, someone like a Tony Romo, would get one of those spots instead. But I wanted to ask you about one of the stars of the game that a lot of eyes were on, and rightfully so. We saw some flashes of old form from Justin Thomas this past week. So ultimately he finished tied for second. Best finish on tour since winning the 2022 PGA Championship. But it was a limited field. It was in the fall. Is that enough, do you think, Rex, of a sample size for us to draw any conclusions from what we saw?
I think you can take this entire season as a sample size when it comes to JT, and he's clearly moving in the right direction. He made it all the way to East Lake. Now, granted, he was in that 30th spot, which isn't where you want to be, but just making it to the Tour Championship, I think, is an accomplishment for any player on the Tour. And you look at what he did well last week, it's what he's been doing now well for the last few weeks. He picked up almost 2.5 shots on the field tee to green, and that's what he does well when he's playing his best golf. However, you go into that final stretch, his final 12 holes, he only played them in 1 under par. So clearly something is missing, and that something is no mystery. It's he's not putting well enough. He picked up strokes tee to green and then lost over 2 strokes on the greens. That's something he's going to have to square away. I will say I was taken by some of his comments on Saturday night going into the final round, talking about, yes, it's been a minute since I've won on the PGA Tour, but after having won 15 events, he feels like he remembers how to do it. I think it's much more difficult when you've gone 2+ years since winning your last PGA Tour event to get back into that flow and to feel comfortable. He's clearly not comfortable there yet.
Ryan, at the weekend, Shriners announced that they're stepping down as the sponsor of the PGA Tour event in Las Vegas after a pretty long run. They've obviously been moved from a regular season into this kind of fall FedEx Cup season where the fields aren't as strong as perhaps they'd been accustomed to. Is this just attrition? Is it shifting corporate priorities? Or is this a canary in a coal mine for the tour in terms of the schedule changes and the potential impact it could have both on players and on sponsors?
No, I think this is the repercussion or some of the fallout that you're going to have with the condensed season now on the PGA Tour, where you're essentially saying the regular season is so important, and then you're essentially asking sponsors to pony up for a weak field and a bloated fall schedule at a time of year when fewer people are interested in watching the golf tournaments. I think that's why this period of time on the golf calendar is ripe for reinvention, whether it's bringing in more DP World Tour events, team golf, skids game, TGL, the Live collaboration like we're going to see in December in Vegas. You know, it cannot be a heavy lift for the superstars because they've made it abundantly clear that they don't want to do that. And you see a lot of the top players who are sitting out in the fall schedule, but you have to do something if you're the PGA Tour to make it more appealing for sponsorships. And so I think, you know, it still may be a couple years down the line, but I just think the fall is so ripe for reinvention and to make something that's so much more appealing as a product and for golf fans at large.
Rex, I want to ask you about Ricky Fowler because he played well this past weekend and basically straight up, how important is Ricky now to the PGA Tour and is that importance in relative balance?
I think he's just as important now as he has been in the past. I don't see any shortage of middle-aged men who want to wear bad-looking, flat-brimmed, bright hats out there anymore at PGA Tour events. And yes, it seems as if his game is coming around as well. We just got through talking about JT. You look what Ricky has done, really, his last 3 starts. He's been under par in his last 12 rounds. So he seems to have found something. I don't think the consistency is there, and he still has some work to do. But I'll point to the PGA Tour's own metrics, and we'll probably see this in the next few weeks. I'm sure he's still going to finish inside the top 10 on the PIP program. And that is how the tour measures a player's importance to the popularity of the tour, the popularity of the product. I would be shocked if he's not inside that top 10.
Ryan, speaking of guys who are likely to factor in the player impact program, let's talk about the guy who's going to be winning that program next year, even though he's actually not playing very much, Tiger Woods. He's released most of the field for his hero event in the Bahamas in December. Still a few empty slots in the 18-man field. Are you expecting Tiger's going to tee it up then?
No, I'm not anticipating that that would be the case. I think the PNC Championship a couple weeks later, where Tiger can sort of hit half the shots alongside his son, Charlie Woods, makes much more sense. There have been very few updates, actually, regarding Tiger's condition, regarding his form, regarding his upcoming schedule since that fall back surge. But I think that's probably a little bit too much too soon with the grainy soil, 72 holes in the Bahamas. I think he's probably more targeting the Genesis Invitational early 2025 for when he wants to get back to playing official tournament golf.
But who says there's nothing topic-wise to kick around at the end of October? Always fun spending time with you guys. Thanks for it.